Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Man. Good morning, bro.
Good morning to you. How you doing this morning?
Dude, I'm good. But how are you, man? Your Yorkist crew, your Yorkist clan has grown since we talked last.
Man, it is. It's been a long weekend, but yeah. I'm incredibly, very thankful. We've been very blessed.
Yeah.
Of course, the new child has arrived. And it was actually funny, man, because on Friday, my wife comes home from work. And she just has this, like, determined look on her face. And she's like, this baby is coming today.
It's go time, baby.
Yeah. And so we went out, if you've ever had a kid before, you kind of relate to this. We went out for a walk. We got back. She was like, no. I'm doing yard work until this baby comes. And so we were out
there.
She
was going to be active and just get after it.
Yeah.
Basically calling the baby's bluff.
Just kind of coaching it along,
right,
essentially.
Right.
But yeah, so we get out there. I mean, my wife has like the weed whacker and everything else.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know, we get the guard. It was really nice because, of course, it did work and we ended up going to the hospital. She went into labor.
Right.
Right then and there, but at the same time...
This is happening now.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it was perfect, because it was right after we got the lawn done.
Yeah.
So, like, the house looked amazing.
You got to come home to, like, a pleasant environment.
It was really,
imagine
really nice.
Imagine that. Yeah.
But the funny thing is, aside from the fact that it was just, like, you know, she was just so determined,
mm-hmm.
is we go to the hospital, and, you know, we're like, all right, today, and we keep on, you know, pushing, we keep on pushing time up until right past midnight. So the child was born actually the next day.
Okay, yeah.
Which ended up being great for us because, you know, they keep you in the hospital for 2 days.
Right.
And so we almost kind of got a third day because of the way that it all timed out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I got that text from you, I think, late that night after midnight.
Sorry about that.
No, it's great. I woke up and was like, oh, good. I know they're pleased to have that over and that everyone's healthy,
yes,
and happy. And man, your baby has a full head of hair too.
I know,
yeah.
I know, which is great. You know, I was telling you before we went live that the Yorks are not necessarily known for their hair, so I think she probably gets that from her mother's side.
Although you have plenty.
Well, I'm the exception to the rule. I mean, if you
at
see
least
my,
she does not have a mustache or beard.
Yeah, that would be. Well, hey, I got to share this too with you too. So last week before all this went down, I do a lot of different shows. I've mentioned before I do one called Flash TV Talk.
Yeah.
We had this great interview with an actor named John Wesley Shipp, who a lot of people who watch that show know as the character Henry Allen. If you're into the comic book kind of world, then he also portrayed the original Flash back in the 90s series.
Okay.
And, which you might actually know him better for, is he was Dawson's dad on Dawson's Creek.
Okay.
So,
okay. Well, that's going back.
Yeah.
Golly.
Dude, this guy has got, like, he's got a really interesting perspective on kind of television as an industry.
Yeah.
And so we get into kind of the geek Flash related stuff, but we really like to get into kind of where has television come and gone.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. You know, we talk about that. We talk about his work with Mark Hamill, who, of course, portrayed the Trickster on the original series. And, of course, we all know him as
Luke Skywalker
from Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, even if you're not really into The Flash, check out that interview, because I'm telling you, it is so broad that I think almost anybody would enjoy it.
That's
so
great. That's
John
great.
Wesley Shipp interview for Flash TV Talk.
Really good. Just as a fellow, obviously friend of Bo, but just another podcast listener. A lot of good content on the other Podastery podcast. So be sure to check it out, particularly if you're in the central Mississippi area. You know, you pick up on a lot of stuff around here, but there's just so much going on in the world that Bo has very specific expertise and interest in. And anyway, check it out.
I'm very smart about a very few things.
Very random and odd things.
So, man, you got some stuff to going on.
Yeah. I just wanted to make a couple of shout-outs here. It was great that, actually, we have a lot of friends in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to give a shout-out to the Tinderbox there in Metairie, which is right outside of New Orleans. They recently had their long smoke pipe competition dinner. And were kind enough, actually, to put a Country Squire Radio card in every one of their gift bags for all the contestants.
You guys rock.
That was really great. Yeah, I think they even gave away a couple Country Squire Radio t-shirts. And
very nice.
It was just awesome. So, anyway, got a lot of listeners down there and hopefully some more new friends, but really good crew in New Orleans. If you're in New Orleans or in the kind of southeast Louisiana area, be sure to check them out. You can actually go to facebook.com/NOLA Pipe Club. Really robust, vibrant pipe community down there. So be sure to check that out. I want to thank them. And also, we had a great just pop-in random visit from our friend Danny Vasquez at Bird and Bear Pipes. And this was so cool. Like, I was just sitting at the shop. I can't remember exactly what I was doing, blending up some tobacco or whatever. But this tall, impressive, big bearded man walks in my shop with his brother-in-law, and it was Danny Vasquez, and I had never met Danny before, and frankly, I hadn't heard of Bird and Bear Pipes, but man, as we got to talking, it was so fantastic, and I just, it's one of those times where you meet someone, and you feel like you've kind of immediately make kind of, you know, deep connection, you know,
a that kindred kinda spirit.
Kindred spirit kind of thing, and anyway, Danny walks in, and man, is just in the area. He was here for kind of a family getaway, and he's got some family here in the Jackson area, and so
right.
It was great. But be sure to check out his pipe and work at birdandbear.us, because actually Danny does not only pipes, he does a lot of hand cut stems, works with bamboo, anything from briar to
very
olive,
cool.
Just very versatile. But
yeah.
He also does leather goods as well, so which is really, really cool. You know, like pipe stands, belts, all kinds of different things.
It sounds like an interview that we need to have.
Yeah, I think so. Danny's just a great spirit, very humble, gentle guy. And he actually had a gentleman's night recently. He set up kind of this, I don't know if he would call it a ministry or just service he does for local people up there, but he has this gentleman's night that they have once a quarter or so, where they all get together at, you know, some local pub or, you know, some common meeting space. And they just, it's a time for guys to share their stories, almost in kind of a roundtable environment.
Very cool.
Learn from each other about the crafts that they do and just what they're involved in, and just drop their guard and live life together. So he took some Cherokee out there, some of our other Squire blends, and said those were devoured quickly, but also talked us up as far as the Country Squire Radio community. So,
very cool.
Anyway, it was great. Just if you're in the Iowa area, be sure to like try to connect with Danny. But also, you know, if you're a pipe enthusiast, which if you're listening to this podcast, you are, check out birdandbear.com, birdandbear.us, and see Danny's work.
Very cool, man.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll have to catch him next time he's in town. That sounds like
that'd
that
be great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like he comes in town pretty regularly. He's got some family here, so yeah, he'll be around.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, man, we've got an awesome show. Of course, you know, we've for the last several weeks, I feel like we've shifted from a little bit more towards the geek rather than the nerd. You know, we talk about this on the show sometimes, how, you know, in kind of the pipe mindset, you have pipe geeks and you have pipe nerds, and you have topics that kind of fall into that. Pipe geeks are kind of more of the kind of the high concept. Pipe nerds get right down into the nitty gritty. And I think, you know,
we analyze everything, don't we? It's great.
We try to.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're long overdue. We need to get back a little bit into kind of that nitty gritty. And what better way to do that than a tobacco talk?
Straight up tobacco talk, man.
Yeah.
Now, I brought a couple of really good favorites today. Actually, one of them's a new favorite. And this is interesting. You know, when we do tobacco talks, typically, we kind of feature a tinned kind of national brand tobacco,
right.
Something that, you know, from a national, international company that you've heard of. And then sometimes we also feature a Squire blend. Today, I have a couple of tinned tobaccos, though, today, instead of featuring one of our blends that just really was fascinated in. I'm going to talk first about this Vowin Tobacco number 14 Virginia Flake.
All right.
This is a company that I was actually not particularly familiar with, and that's I always kind of cringe a little bit when people bring me tobaccos that I feel like I should know about that
right.
I don't, you know. But a really good friend came in the shop, actually Hincho's, that lives here in Jackson, Hincho Zhao, and he brought me this tin of tobacco that he purchased in St. Louis, and man, this stuff is really good. Vauen, of course, is a German pipe maker that's been around since the mid-1800s, like really old school pipe maker. They've been around for a long time, and they make tobaccos as well. And this Vauen number 14 Virginia Flake is just fantastic. And I wasn't really expecting it. It was kind of interesting. The tin is a little early 90s looking and not particularly, I don't know, it looks like something that you might find at the Saved by the Bell, like cafeteria or something, but but illegally, you know, because you're not supposed to have pipe tobacco at, you know, at the high school, or, I mean, you know. But anyway, yeah, give this a whiff, Bo. I think you'll really like how it smells.
Strong.
Yeah, it's interesting. It does have a strong aroma in the tin note. But that is a straight Virginia flake. And so what's fascinating, it's even though it smells, you know, quite pungent in the tin, it has such a mellow kind of all-day type characteristic to it. It's a very light tobacco as far as the smoking. But you get notes of hay, a little grass. It's a little nutty on the finish. And there's even some cocoa elements, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, it's very... just a real different tobacco. You know, it's, if you know me well enough and my tobacco preferences, you know I like Orlick Golden Slice. Like, I'm a sucker for any kind of Virginia anyway. So, you know, I have kind of high standards when I move into a new tin or something I haven't tried that, you know, just it is a Virginia tobacco. But I smoke this. Of course, this doesn't have the perique like Orlick does. But you smoke this, and it's just so incredibly smooth and mellow. It was fantastic. Nice. So, highly recommend this. It's interesting because, you know, you would think a tobacco that looks like this and has its characteristics would be pretty strong, but it's actually pretty mild and mellow.
Really? So, okay.
Yeah, it's really good. When I opened the tin, it was a little wet. But you know, once it's dried out a little bit, it does well. About half of one of these flakes fills up a pipe for me on a typical bowl for me. It looks like, this may have been tinned by the MacBaren company. Not exactly sure, but, anyway, great tobacco.
Let me ask you this. So the number 14 is the name of this specific kind of blend?
Yeah. The Tabac number 14. Yeah. Okay. You can kind of see the background on there. It says TABAK. Number 14, yeah. And then I think the Virginia Flake is kind of a you know, description of it.
Okay.
So, but really good. And I guess numbers 1 through 13 just weren't up to snuff because 14 is the only one I've heard of. But
well, I want to ask you
it's
about
delicious.
This. So the numbering of tobacco blends, I've noticed that it seems to be, and this is just from my perspective, it seems to be that blends out there, both by local tobacconists and by, you know, kind of larger companies, will either go by these kind of very artistic, kind of almost romantic names,
right?
Or it'll just be like number,
like a serial number.
Yeah. Is that? I mean, like, is that about right? I mean, because I know that there are others that'll just number their tobacco.
It's interesting. You have seen that before, you know, and there's a lot of, you know. Obviously, they'll have like a, you know, one of my favorite Virginias that we use in even some of our blends is MacBaren Virginia number 1. And it's just real, you know, they'll have kind of a simple moniker to that. You know, even at the Squire, for a long time, Cherokee is probably our best selling tobacco.
Right.
And we had Cherokee 1, 2, and 3.
That's right. Yeah.
And so there's different iterations of tobaccos, you know, that kind of come out. You've got, you know, like for instance, Dunhill's 965 was. You know, someone's 965th, you know, tobacco, you know, that they were trying to do in some vein. And so it's fascinating to see how that works. At the Squire, we actually had Cherokee 1, 2, and 3. Cherokee 1 became Choctaw because they kind of wanted to simplify it a little bit.
Yeah.
So Cherokee 1 years ago was turned into Choctaw. Cherokee number 2 is our current Cherokee. And Cherokee number 3... they got rid of because it didn't sell.
Yeah. Do you have a couple old timers who come in and ask specifically for 1, 2, or 3 still?
Yeah, we do. We sure do. A lot of folks, they'll still come in and say, hey, I need a pound of Cherokee number 2. Which is pretty cool. And, you know, I always like wink at them and like, oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's great.
I love that. All right. So this one was number 14.
Number 14 from Vauen.
Okay.
Yeah. Really good. Check it out. And, you know, again, it's funny. It's just one of those tinned company. I knew Vauen made pipes, but, you know, wasn't familiar with their tins. And, anyway, great tobacco. Check it out.
I'm becoming more aware because I think when we started the show, I didn't quite realize that if a company makes pipes, then more often than not, it seems, they also have their own tobacco.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I haven't really come to grips with that until recently either, which is funny because I'm on the, you know, my side of the counter. But you always go into it, you know, obviously Peterson is kind of the one that comes to mind. Like, Peterson's got tons of 10s. You know, people have a broad, you know, variety of opinions on their 10s or whatever. But, you know, they've just been in the game so long that they've developed these mixtures and keep coming out with them, too. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, Savinelli makes tobacco. Of course, Vowen, Brigham. I think Brigham makes some. I saw the other day Stanwell makes tobacco. Yeah, you know, it's just funny. There's a lot of pipe makers that do.
Yeah,
really great. All right, coming along next from one of our favorite companies, McClelland.
Oh yeah.
We actually have Virginia Woods today. This stuff is great. And I have like, this is kind of an interesting love hate thing for me. Not even hate. That's a little too strong. But like, I'm smoking it occasionally, and I'm like, what are they trying to accomplish here? But then I'll turn around and just be in love with it. It's kind of this interesting back and forth when I smoke Virginia Woods.
Ketchup.
Little ketchup. It's a McClelland, so we know it's going to have that vinegar ketchup note.
I never used to catch that from McClelland until you pointed it out. And now almost every single time.
I know, I probably ruin it.
No, not at all. Yeah. Just, I was like, you know, every single time I was like, yep, that's the ketchup.
That's the ketchup. Yeah, it's funny. McClelland, you know, obviously they use a lot of vinegar and just that natural Virginia too kind of lends itself to that. But, you know, it brings it out a lot when they process their tobacco. But McClelland, obviously one of our favorite 10 tobacco companies at the Squire. We sell and love a lot of their tobaccos. And Virginia Woods is really interesting. You open the tin, and for me, I immediately smell some type of topping or some kind of flavoring on top of it. Now, this is described as a straight Virginia tobacco, and so I think the McClelland Company has admitted they top it with just a little bit of something at the very end. But
right.
The back of the tin reads, smooth, rich, mellow flavor, and incomparable woodsy aroma. Blended with mature red Virginias, stoved Virginias, wide-cut lemon Virginia, and other premium tobaccos. One of the ultimate in matured Virginia blend smoking. So, I think that's a good description for it. You know, I do get definitely a woodsy sense to it. There's a little barbecue, but it's more kind of a nutty, velvety, rich flavor.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you kind of get some little spice flavors, almost not like a heat, but more like a perique or anything, but more like a almost a Christmas spice, like a clove or something. There's all kinds of interesting things going on here. At the Squire, we have a blend. It is a very lightly flavored aromatic. So, you know, it's kind of fascinating. But anyway, great tobacco. When you open the tin of Virginia Woods, my experience is it's a little wet, and it's good to let it dry out a little bit. And, you know, that's the case for a lot of tins. Some tins, you open it up, and they're pretty dry, but a lot of tins are that way. This one was particularly that way for me. The couple of tins that I've opened of Virginia Woods have been that way. And actually, our friend Mike Box here in Jackson, who's a local therapist that shops at the Squire, who is also a hilarious individual. he says he has to put Virginia Woods in his tobacco dryer for a couple days before he smokes it. His tobacco dryer, of course, is the back seat of his Honda.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and I mean, it just makes sense. So, tobacco dryer goes in the tobacco dryer, comes out a couple days later, and it's good to go.
There you go.
But anyway, I detect a little extra flavoring in there, but it's something that, I mean, it's such a clean smoke that, you know, it's not. I'd be hard pressed to call that an aromatic tobacco.
You know, I'm something I've always found a little bit fascinating about McClelland is their tins in terms of just kind of the branding,
yeah,
and just kind of the art that's on it. There seems to be very little consistency.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like every single tin seems very, very different.
Very different. You know, that's actually a good point. They have a particular line called Blakeney's Best that it's kind of similar to the Vowen tin that we just talked about. Like, yeah, it almost looks like it. It came out of the, you know, late 80s, like the guy that tinned it was wearing a slap bracelet or something. Like, I don't know. But, you know, it's funny. And then they've got these really classic tins that they're, of course, Christmas cheer. Almost looks like something that came out of, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue or something real glossy. And,
right, right.
You know, got that big gold stamp on the front with the leaves and the embossed, you know, print.
Yeah, the Christmas
stuff,
cheer
so.
Seems very like, you know, almost like a regal type of feel.
Regal,
to it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So McClelland's all over the map, of course, and they have more, you know, kind of funny things like the Throgmorton tins and that type of thing. But anyway, McClellan's all over the map. They're just a great company.
I'm going to pitch this idea out there, and if anybody has any influence whatsoever, whoever manages the brand for McClellan, I would love to have that person on and just kind of talk about some of the thoughts and philosophies as far as why they go in the different direction.
What's a graphic designer?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So if you have any influence anywhere around that area, let them know that we'd like to talk to them. That'd be great.
That'd be a lot of fun. But, man, those are the two I brought today. I love Virginia Woods. It's a good, you know, for me, kind of anytime smoke. It's got a lot of that red Virginia in there. It's very reminiscent of McClellan 5100. So you can, you know, pick up a lot of that sense. But it's very mellow. It's something that, you know, as it ages, it's going to get much, much more mellow, real, real soft. Some interesting notes to it. But I tell you what, man, my jam recently has been that Vowin Tobacco number 14 Virginia Flake. Man, that, if you're a Virginia smoker, you need to try that. That tobacco, I've been trying to describe it to people for the past couple weeks as I've been kind of sipping on it, because I don't want it to go away. But it's one of those tobaccos that it has elements of, you know, other Virginias that I've smoked. But on the very end of it, there's something that happens to my tongue that's just magic. So anyway, try it. It's a great tobacco.
Taste the magic.
It's delicious.
That should be like the tagline right there. Well, awesome stuff, man. Well, of course, now both of these available for sampling if you're local and in the area?
That's right, okay. At the Squire, yeah.
Yeah, so hit that up, try them, and let us know what you think. And, you know, with the tobacco talks, that's always something we want to hear. You know, we'll post this episode, of course, out to Facebook, but head over there. If you've tried one of these tobaccos, just write up a little mini review on the Facebook page and let us know what you think, because, you know, it's many people can kind of come to the same tobacco and walk away with different impressions. So we'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Pipe question of the week.
Right. This is a great pipe question for a tobacco talk right here. This comes in from Jared S., who asked the question, how do you properly taste a tobacco in order to develop your palate and distinguish all of the characteristics?
Wow. It's like,
how do you become JD? That's
like,
the question.
No. It's more like asking, how do you smell?
That's good. That's
like, wow. Yeah. That's an incredible question. I don't know. This is interesting. I had some thoughts as I read this, you know, before the show. Typically as a tobacconist, you see when people start smoking a pipe, when they think of pipe smoking, they think of that warm grandfather smell. And so what they run to typically is something like a, you know, heavily cased cherry, maybe a vanilla, something that's got a whole lot of tin or jar note on it, but maybe not as much nuance in its taste.
Right.
And then what happens, and again, we've talked about this before on the show, you know, you kind of compare it to someone starting out on Bud Light, moving to the craft beer through time, kind of moving to some of those boutique craft small batch beers. And it's a similar experience. You find someone diving into that real syrupy tobacco, which are great. You know, there are people that stay there, and that is fantastic, and we love that.
I was there for a long time.
But a lot of folks, you know, what they'll do is, and Jared, you may or may not, this may or may not describe your experience, I don't know, but they'll take that one random kind of chance bowl of maybe a rich English that's got some Orientals in it, or, you know, a Virginia with a hint of Perique, something that's not overwhelming, but something that just mixes it up enough in their mind to say, oh, wow. And that's where I tend to see, anyway, people start recognizing flavors, is once they've taken that step into, you know, some of the other tobacco realms that they're not used to.
Right.
And that's really fascinating. And then what I've also seen, and this is interesting, is people come back to the tobaccos they started on and pick up more.
Right, yeah.
Which is really fascinating to me. Like, we had a really loyal and faithful friend of ours, Peter Massey, here in Jackson, you know, just smoked so much aromatic tobacco. And, you know, there was a couple that he started getting tired of and not really enjoying. He said they're too simple. But then he went to, you know, Cornishman, Angry Cornishman, Baker Street, some of our, you know, heavier, more interesting ingredient-filled blends, and then and really started falling in love with some of the nuanced flavors, and then came back to, you know, some of the more simple blends, and was able to pick up different notes at that point. So it's interesting. Can I teach you how to taste and develop your palate? Just try a bunch of stuff, brother.
Yeah.
Like, try a bunch of stuff. If you're kind of stuck in one vein where you're just used to smoking a whole lot of one thing, man, just dive out there and try something totally random. You know, in my own experience, which is interesting, I kind of same thing. I started smoking, you know, when you're a young pipe smoker, you go to the drugstore and pick up some Captain Black or, you know, just some, you know, heavily cased tobacco. And, man, that first can of Throgmorton that I opened, it was so incredibly different that it just sparked all these little things. And what's funny is now I'm not even a Latakia smoker. Like, I like Latakia in doses, but it's not something I pull for regularly. I'm a Virginia smoker. I like Virginias. But there's something about mixing it up occasionally where you open that tin of something totally different, and all of a sudden your mind is kind of expanded in the world of tobacco. So give that a try. I think as you try really different things, you'll start to pick out more.
I mean, it's like almost anything, right? I mean, as you're saying, the more diverse of things that you try, the more diverse your palate will become because you know what to look for.
Yeah.
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 I like that a lot.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Jared, thank you so much for sending in your question.
Absolutely.
Of course, Pipe Question of the Week is brought to us by the New Orleans Pipe Show. If you've yet to register, you need to head over to nolapipeshow.com. That's NOLAPipeshow.com. We've already talked a little bit about the good folks in New Orleans with the club down there. You gotta be ready for this because it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, nolapipeshow.com.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
Brought to you by Mike Flutcher.
Yeah, man, Mike Flutcher. Like I said, he sent in his recommendation, and then he also sent in some quick fire questions. These are some good ones, man. I'm ready for this.
Let's bring it. Bring the heat.
Softy bit or bare stem on a pipe?
Man, this is not a fair question. Okay, I prefer, all things being equal, not that.
Not
the softy bit.
Okay.
But, you know, working with my pipe as much as I do, and, you know, smoking pipes that I tend to be relatively fond of, like, there is that softy bit is a big help. I don't know.
You're going to clinch.
If I had to pick, you know, I got to go without the bit,
right.
But it is so helpful.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean,
a pipe stem is meant to be bit. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, it's meant to be used, you know what I mean? But if you bought a, you know, pipe that's got a custom stem with the logo on it and all this stuff, you want to take care of it. So
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I'd go without the bit.
Yeah, I think I would prefer, it's one of those things, what do I want versus what do I actually do more? I think I would prefer without the bit, but I find in the, you know, what seems to be more and more rare opportunities I have to actually smoke my pipe.
Yeah.
Unless I'm at a pipe club meeting, I'm doing something very active. And
yeah.
So I'm going to have the softy bit on there.
Yeah.
At the pipe club though, I think for the most part, I always go without.
Without.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it depends on if you're able to hold your pipe at the time or not.
Exactly.
So, yep.
All right. This is good. Hot tea or cold beer?
Cold beer.
Yeah, see, this is
it's not a fair question.
Well, this is actually a lot like the first one for me, because what do I want? What do I prefer?
Right.
The cold beer. But right now, you know, as I'm going through this kind of cleansing diet thing that I've talked about. For
By the way, dude, you've lost a lot.
I'm doing all right.
Of weight.
I'm doing all right.
No, it's in your face now.
Thank you.
Like I know it probably shows up a little bit in your waistline stuff, but like your jawline and stuff.
Appreciate it, man.
Anyway, props to Bo for losing weight.
Well, stop it. Stop it.
Oh, y'all. Yeah.
No, man. Yeah, it's been tough. And actually, during the whole baby situation, my goal was to maintain rather than lose because,
yeah.
you know, you go to the hospital and you're very limited on food options.
Right, right.
You know, for being the place you go to get healthy, the food is not very healthy.
It's not very healthy.
But anyway, so back to this. I'd have to, even though I want the cold beer, I'm more often than not, well, I'm only going to the hot tea these days. So yeah. Gonna have to go with hot tea.
Fair enough.
All right, this is a great one. Tom Hanks or Tom Selleck?
Golly. When I saw this question, I was like, man, that is interesting.
I like the way that Mike thinks.
I got to go with, okay, I'm going to go with Tom Selleck.
Really?
It's the mustache.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powerful mustache.
I don't know. There is some, of course, we all know the things that Tom Hanks has been involved in. But
sure.
When I see Tom Selleck, I could see him being a pipe smoker.
See? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
I wonder if he is.
You know,
yeah,
and
no,
Hanks,
he's a cigar smoker.
There's this piece of me that thinks, as much as I like Tom Hanks, that maybe he would kind of be one of those guys that's like, oh, you don't need to smoke anything, you know?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen him? There's this great interview where Tom Hanks was on some Good Morning show.
Yeah.
And he let an F-bomb slip, just like very... Very
like on GMA or something.
Something like it was, but it was like extremely casual. It was like, right. I go in the house and he's like, oh, the kids. And I was like, oh. And then he's got this look on his face like, oh.
Abject horror.
That's probably not good. So, you know, I get the sense that Tom Hanks is kind of one of those guys.
Maybe
that's,
he's a little loose.
You know,
yeah.
Well, he's professional. That's really what it comes down to.
And that makes sense.
So I like to think that at the end of the day, he throws on his robe, gets his pipe out.
Pulls his pipe out.
What was the last episode of Conan? Conan was interviewing Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks comes out with like two glasses of scotch and he hands one to Conan and he goes, this is what I call daddy's reward. And after that, I was like, yes.
I like you.
So I'm going to have to go with Tom Hanks.
That's
Selleck, fair. I mean, you're right. But he's like 90% mustache.
No, you're right.
And then last but not least, leftover pizza or leftover Chinese food?
I'm going to go with Chinese food.
Really?
I'm going to go with leftover Chinese food.
You like being sick.
That's sketchy. I know it's really sketchy, but like there's something about the gamble. No, I really like leftover Chinese food. I do. I got to go with that.
You know, if you're looking for kind of that high risk lifestyle, sure.
Right.
No, man. I actually prefer
living on the edge.
I actually prefer cold pizza the day after.
Yeah.
To hot pizza when it arrives.
Really?
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. So
I wonder why that is.
I think it's just
the flavors kind of marry up a little more. Or something?
You don't like scald your mouth with the hot cheese, which is part of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's gotten time to meld and marinate and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
it's good
great.
Stuff.
Okay.
Well, great, great quick fire questions. If you would like to shoot us some quick fire questions, you can do so. That's csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Great listener feedback. This first one is kind of a correction slash perhaps a challenge.
Yeah.
This comes to us from Al Shaw on Facebook.
Yeah.
JD, do you want to read what he said?
Yeah, I'll be glad to. Al says, while I very much enjoyed your podcast on Sherlock Holmes and pipes, as I do all your podcasts, there's one particular misstatement that is common among Sherlockians. The statement that Holmes did not smoke a bent pipe is a misconception. Oh, this is interesting. I would like to send you a copy of my treatise on Holmes and pipe smoking that was published in Baker Street Miscellanea and before that in Pipe Smoking Ephemeris. It addressed the very misconception that and has accompanied photos to demonstrate the point in favor of Holmes and curved pipes and explains the origin of the urban legend that Holmes only smoked straight pipes. Please forward an email address to me where I can send my article for your further Sherlockian edification. Of course, you can do that at csr@podastery.com. Man, that's great. Thanks. We like when the experts step up.
Yeah, man. This is good. I'm kind of curious, too, because it sounds like there might be a little bit of debate in kind of the Sherlockian community.
Yeah.
And so, hey, if we can help facilitate that conversation, I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Bring it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's awesome. We also got from Zykar Mike on iTunes. He says, great podcast. As a semi-experienced pipe smoker and avid podcast listener, I stumbled into this podcast. Great conversations and very informative. Not only finding old favorites, but discovering new ones. Keep up the great work, guys. That's awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
We always love getting this kind of feedback from you guys, especially on those iTunes reviews. If you head over to iTunes right now, write us that review. Even if you're not actually listening to the podcast through iTunes, it's a great way to help support the show. And of course, you know, we love reading them on the show. Well, man, JD,
Dude, this was fun.
It's always fun.
I love talking about tobacco, man. I realized yesterday I had a friend that came in the shop I hadn't seen in a long time. And he was sitting there watching me, you know, hand blend some stuff and, you know, wait on some customers and kind of help them with new pipe smoking experiences. And he was like, man, this is really magical for you. I was like, yeah, it is.
That's awesome, man. Well, I got to say, this weekend being stuck in the hospital with nothing but doctors coming in and out and everything else. I was
right.
Like, just got to make it a CSR. Just
power,
gotta make it. Got to
hang
out
through,
with
baby.
All right, man. Well, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.